Flyers Daily with Jason Mertidis.
All right, here we go. Brand new Flyers Daily for the 18th of April, 2024. No game to preview, no game to break down, an off season ahead, and a lot of questions. You know, we're going to look at some point here, we're going to look back at some of the question marks coming into the season and how those were answered. I'm going to dig through my notebooks. I got them everywhere. And find the bold predictions that I had and see how they played out. I know one of them didn't play out, but damn, it was close. One of my bold predictions is that Cam York would lead the team in average time on ice. That ended up being Travis Sanheim, but it got close. And for a while there, it didn't look like that was going to happen, but I think I had Owen Tippett getting the 30 goals. He got the 28. So there's a lot in there that will redux as we go through here. This is still kind of, I don't know about for you guys, but for me, it's kind of been a day of trying to get my feet back under me, get back to regular life in a way after the six-month fury of a season that, you know, a lot of times the last couple of years when they've missed out on playoffs or the year ended up being really frustrating, but you got to this point and you're like, oh, thank God, it's over, and you can kind of ease your way into it. There's no easing your way into this one. This kind of happened like a two by four to the forehead, as it happened on game 82. And then yesterday we were at the Flyers practice facility all day because it turned from, hey, the season's over, to finding out at 11:30 that night after the game that, hey, exit day is beginning tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. So jumped over to the practice facility yesterday, and I think I taped 21 different interviews. I have a whole list of all the guys I talked to that we're going to kind of spread out through the next couple of months and, you know, kind of do reduxes on all their seasons from Yegor Zamula to the in-season acquired Jamie Drysdale to Travis Konecny and Nick Seeler and Owen Tippett and Scott Laughton. Cam Atkinson, I heard his media availability yesterday. He said one thing there that really stuck out to me. He said, I think I have some more juice left in the tank for the right situation. And when I heard the right situation, I said, oh, doesn't sound like he's coming back. But we'll get into all that, and Garnet Hathaway, some really cool discussions that we'll get to throughout this offseason. And I want to get to maybe tomorrow, kind of really laying out the first half of the moments that mattered. You know, I just started kind of going back and looking through emails, and you know, one of the early inflection points of the season was back on November 7th when the Flyers lost to the Sharks in San Jose 2-1. I remember being so frustrated after that loss. And then the Flyers went on to win 5 straight right after that. They beat Anaheim, Los Angeles, and Carolina on the road. They beat Vegas. It was just a really dynamic season. And, you know, as we go through the season, you know, 85% of it, kind of the message on social media was, this team's really fun to watch. They play honest. They play hard. They're coached well. They're fun because they get out in transition and they're a high-flying offense. And in the beginning of the year, the strong goaltending. And then, you know, another moment that mattered, if you go all the way back to June 6th of last year, I mean, geez, this is almost a year ago at this point, 10 months ago, that Provorov deal. But in that deal, they acquire Cal Peterson and Sean Walker from the Los Angeles Kings. And who the hell knew at that point that Sean Walker was going to come in here and do what he did and ultimately translate into a first-round pick in next year's draft? Not this year's, next year's. So, I mean, there's just so many different avenues of discussion about this year. You know, the 1920 season was pretty fascinating because you're coming out of the Dave Hakstol era, and you come into the year one of Alain Vigneault. And then obviously the pandemic came in and disrupted all that. But you had the migraines of Nolan Patrick, the signing of Kevin Hayes, the signing of Tyler Pitlick. I mean, it was kind of innocuous moves that took place that made a big difference. Now you may look at it in the long term and go, it didn't work, and you'd be right about that. But that year, they were a bona fide good team. So we'll kind of get through all of this and kind of look in every nook and cranny of what was an absolutely wild season. That's, you know, that's the one thing as we sit here now on Thursday, a couple days removed, and start to get your legs under you, is that you realize that, I mean, geez, this year was a lot of fun. Fans came back to the building. The organization is being stewarded, if that's a word, properly under the guidance of Dan Helfrich, Keith Jones, and Danny Briere. So that's a good thing. That was, if you look at the step forward, 12 more points in the standings than the year prior, I don't really measure things by that. I didn't think they'd have as many points in the standings as they did the year prior. We talked about it in the beginning of the season. How do you measure progress if the record's not better? I didn't think they'd be better on ice. They turned out that they were, but, you know, they're way better off ice, though. Not a little bit better off ice. Way better off ice. You may go, well, how you say that? Well, ultimately, record and success will determine that, if there is success. If they are a team that's truly on the rise. Look, I think the mentality of the team, and I know I ranted on this in yesterday's episode about the guy who said that this is their best chance to make the playoffs in the next 3 years. I still think that's the dumbest statement I've heard all season, other than they should lose on purpose. But the reason why I think that's dumb is because I don't think this front office is in the mood to sit there and go, okay, we're okay taking a step back next year. I think they're going to be aggressive and find a way to get deals done, find a way to improve the hockey team. We see it all over the NHL. Teams do it. I think this front office will do that. Is there risk in doing that? Absolutely. You got to get it right. Sometimes you try and improve the team. Everybody wants to improve. Sometimes you try and improve the team, and maybe it's improvement for a small window. Maybe it's, you know, not improvement at all. You make a mistake. That happens. But I don't think this front office is going to be in the business of sitting around. I really don't. I think that they're here to win, and they're here to push skin into the middle of the table and try and make some things happen. And, you know, like Sean Walker, you know, for example, when people go, well, this was their best chance to make the playoffs in the next year, you don't know how players are going to develop. You don't know if Tyson Forster, would I be shocked if Tyson Forster came in and scored 38 goals next year? I wouldn't. He scored 20 this year in his rookie year. I think he's a player that knows a lot about his game all of a sudden. I talked to him yesterday, and I think he's a player that could make an enormous jump in year two. I mean, there's another player. I've talked about it. I talked to him yesterday, and I said it to his face. I think the biggest individual player storyline was the development of Cam York. To me, I mean, he could take another even bigger step. And when I spoke to him yesterday, and you'll hear this interview coming up in the next couple of weeks, he is not satisfied with this season he had. He is not about individual accomplishment. Yeah, he's confident and chill and all that, but he's a winner. Won gold for Team USA in the World Juniors. I mean, there's a lot to be determined here. And this, going into this offseason, it's far different. Last year you go, oh, we got no talent. And well, there's some pieces here. Jamie Drysdale's got a lot of growth to take place. I'm not saying he's going to have the same development year that Cam York had from year to year this past season, but Jamie Drysdale with a year of Brad Shaw, I think, is a really damn good thing. We'll see where it goes. All the tools are there. That's obvious. And then you look at, you know, players, young players like Tippett, like Morgan Frost, and the veteran mix of the group. I think that it's going to be a really intriguing offseason. And it was, to use the word, I think it was a really dynamic season. There's some pain points in there for sure, which will redux, but there's a lot more pleasure points in this season, in the sense that there were some shocking results that were really positive, whether that was an individual player performance, that was a specific game, whether it's that Colorado game on the road where they go into the third period up 3-2 and win 5-2, or the 5-1 win at home against the Dallas Stars, or the 2-0 win over Winnipeg on that back-to-back. I mean, there's a lot of really good things that happened here. And while I'm still kind of set back and very disappointed that they're not in the playoffs, and will be especially when I watch that game get on the ice, when the playoff game gets on the ice, there's a lot of really good storylines in this past season. They're not all great. They're not all great. I have, you know, a big wonder, where's Rasmus Ristolainen? Is he in witness protection? Didn't see him at Flyers exit day. Maybe we'll hear something from Danny Briere tomorrow on Rasmus Ristolainen. So there's question marks there, and there's decisions. Like Cam Atkinson's a big decision. Ryan Johansson, what do you do? Is he an LTIR candidate next year? What's the contract status of Ivan Fedotov? There's questions, but overall, it was a very dynamic and fun year. And I will say this, we'll kind of wrap up here for today. It was a fun year discussing, debating, posting about Flyers hockey on social media again. It wasn't just this doom and gloom. Yeah, there was doom and gloom moments. I thought the most ridiculous part of this season was leading up to the trade deadline when people were freaking out about the Flyers signing Sean Walker based on rumors. Like, I thought that was one of the kind of lamer moments of the season. But overall, it was a fun year to discuss this team again. You know why? Because they freaking mattered again. And that's great. And they're going to matter going forward. I still have a lot of belief in Danny Briere, Keith Jones, and Dan Helferty. And yeah, they didn't get to the postseason. But the goal, again, is not to get there. This is a rebuild. And not getting there stings, and I'm disappointed, but ultimately the goal is to be a perennial playoff team and a team that's on the ascension. Like, I look at teams like Carolina, like Florida, like Winnipeg, you know, like Dallas, those kind of teams. Like Dallas, I mean, they don't have a lot of top overall picks. Heiskanen was a high pick, but you look at Jason Robertson and Ottinger, the way they built their team. And there's some free agents in there. And you look at, I mean, look at a team like Vegas. They have one first-round pick that they actually, in their existence, that's still in the organization. They've used that as equity to build the team that they have. So there's a lot to discuss in this offseason, and we'll talk about all of it. And again, we have all the interviews coming up, and Danny Briere and John Tortorella are going to speak tomorrow. So we'll see where that all goes as well. But everybody, thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. We'll be back tomorrow with yet another brand new Flyers Daily.